I'd love to know where it all started and where you grew up and your influences. And
yeah, well, where it all started, mum, PNG girl, all the way, KVN, a little island right up the top of PNG. My dad, white Kiwi, went over to Papua New Guinea to work on the mines and met her.
Okay.
Had my brother, flew over to New Zealand, had my sister, and then me. And then within 5 weeks of being born, I came to Australia. And basically, this is pretty much where I've grown up, called home.
Mm-hmm.
Although there is a big pull for me to go back to my mum's motherland. I feel like there's something there.
There is something there, yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
What happens, doesn't it? I'm Polish, and I get that. I'm an immigrant here as well.
Yes.
As soon as I landed in Poland, you feel something.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I guess it's that, I never quite understood the, I did understand the Aborigines and how important country is to them. I'm starting to really feel that now.
Okay.
Like, I know, and you always see little signs. I did say this year with my sister, I've never been before, I was going to go back to Papua New Guinea. And I have a little amazing story with that too. But, then all of a sudden, I start seeing a lot of Papua New Guinea people, and I can pick them a mile away.
Yeah, okay.
If I see someone that looks remotely like a PNG, I'll beeline it to them, go introduce my mum's from KVN.
Yeah, no way.
You know, and then I'll tell my little story. They're probably like, what the? I love it. Like, there's something there. So I...
you can see gravitate to that.
Yeah, gravitate. All the time. And I'm going to go over, hopefully, this year. But then, you know, my dad was a big football fan, loved football. He grew up in New Zealand, so there's not much opportunity. Family of 11 siblings.
Yeah, wow.
So, and tough upbringing. Both my parents had really, really tough upbringings.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum was taken from her family when she was quite young to have a better life. And in some respects she did, but a lot of time, like, there's a lot of hurt there.
Of course.
Or the people that took her, their behaviours, what she experienced, and also on my dad's side of, like, you know, really hard, poor upbringing, and a lot of, you know, a lot of violence, I'm guessing, because my dad doesn't speak about it too much.
Okay.
But you can, you know, when you...
You can feel it.
Yeah,
you can feel it, and then there's something there that doesn't want to... doesn't need to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's, you carry some of the... past traumas for your own through the lineages. I don't know what my dad's dad experienced, my dad experienced that, and that was all he was taught, so I was shown that, and then some experiences in my life where I maybe are quick to snap and be angry, where you know, you have a more calming environment when you grow up and loving, maybe you react in different ways.
Yeah, of course.
So I mean, so my dad's love of football, and he didn't have the opportunities. And also to my dad's mum was very religious. 7 Day Adventist.
Right. No skateboards, none of that.
Not allowed to do
anything.
And my dad hated religion because of that. And I remember when I was a young kid, just trying to fit in, our family trying to fit in. We got invited to this, a religious kind of day or whatever. It was, you know, it was beautiful because it was just kids there having fun. As soon as my dad heard it, lost
his shit.
Not his thing.
But that was because of his own past and what he experienced to it. I guess when you're rebellious, you're more, you want to be free, yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. There's got to be, you don't want to be told what the fuck to do.
I still find it hard when someone tells me what to do. And to even listen, you know, because I feel like I know better. But so he loved football, and through what he couldn't have, he lived that through us, because we all played football. My mum played football, my dad played football, my two sisters, my three brothers, like, we all played football.
Yeah, okay.
But then I guess when I started to show a bit of talent, he really...
Nurtured that.
He really pushed instead of, maybe not nurtured, but when you look back on it, he was just wanting the best.
Okay.
Wanting the best of...
Well, they do. My dad, same thing with me. It was always, if you're going to do something, do it bloody properly.
Yes.
And you're not going to be better with in under-10s with a bunch of C-graders. Yeah. Let's go to the Super League and put you in there, or put you in an adult team. You know what I mean?
Well, that was... Yeah, well, that was, my dad was very much like, never showed too much. I mean, he sacrificed me, him and my mum, to put me on the path to becoming a professional footballer, but never gave too much acknowledgement about like how I performed or if I did well. So in a way, I felt like me playing football, I loved it, but I loved it more because my dad loved me doing it.
Uh-huh.
And that was my connection with him. And you know, my dad growing up, and still is today, even though probably didn't have the relationship that I have with my kid, my boy, just wanting to make him proud. Just like, hey, Dad, look what I'm doing, this and that. So that's why I really persisted with the football. It wasn't because, I was talented and I was, I enjoyed it. But I enjoyed it more because my dad.
Dad was happy. So when was that though? At what age did you start realizing you were better, obviously, than everyone else?
Oh, well, it's when you start making rep teams, you start to. And we grew up in the country, so it was always difficult.
Where was that?
In Orbiodonga.
Okay.
In Bathurst.
Orbiodonga. So, yeah, so you're Victorian sometimes, New South Wales sometimes. Yeah,
because back in the day, it used to be you had your state, you got selected for your state, and then you play your nationals, and whoever was talented within that sort of tournament,
they
pick them and they play Joey's
for
the Australian team. So I was on the border, so I was kind of like Victoria.
Yep.
But there was so much politics.
Oh, mate. The politics in Victoria.
Yeah. So
Croatians, the Greeks, all of them.
I don't know. It was just hard. Like,
Yeah.
So I felt like it didn't... They had the cliques. I don't know. I mean, I was young. I'm only...
But you felt it. Yeah. And you felt like there was more opportunity on the other side of the border?
Definitely. But I probably... just going off what my parents would say, or my dad was like, there's too many cliques, and that's what you hear. You're just a young kid, you just go and try to play.
Yeah, of course. And be the best.
Yeah, that's right. And so then we went to country New South Wales, which was a little bit easier to get into than, maybe the city New South Wales team, because they had, like, Harry Kewells, Brett Emmertons, all these guys. And they were talented players growing up in
Well, you were coming through a period of... That old golden age, me.
Yeah, well, that was young when we started then. So, but a lot of the old, a lot of the city teams, like Marconi, Melita, they had all the talented young players, and they had all the great best coaching.
Mm, mm.
So, I mean, I was from the country. We had none of that. We were starved. So it was more that I couldn't make in there because they were good players.
Mm.
But then I was in country New South Wales, and that's kind of where I started my football journey. Yep. We got picked because you used to play nationals every year for 3 years, and then you get selected, get into the Joey's environment, but not the actual squad, but just get a taste of what it's like to be a national team. That was unbelievable. Went to the first one, went to the second one, and then all of a sudden parties started to happen.
How old were you then?
I was probably 14, 15.
Yeah, right.
And I wanted that more than I wanted football.
Which is what we all want.
Yeah.
When we're young. My dad used to say to me, my parents, both of my mum as well, don't worry about smoking, drinking, and the girls. You're only a kid once.
Yeah.
And you'll be an adult for the rest of your life once you turn 18. Yeah. And it resonated with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And then I turned 18 and it went all
pear-shaped. Well, no, I went
pear-shaped
at that age.
Oh, really? Did you?
Because that last year for selection of the Joeys, this young Australian team, and that was a good group of footballers in that.
Mm.
That was almost like a few players from the golden generation.
Yeah, okay.
And I actually said, no, I don't want to go. After a Nationals, they sort of picked a squad and they gave you the option if you wanted to go. And I said, no, I didn't want to.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then, my dad was...
What was the apprehension to it?
I wanted to
you just be with part, mates. Just I wanted to hang out.
Just wanted hang to hang out. Out, be with mates, have fun, go to parties, girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Be a kid,
Mm.
But, I probably would have, if I knew what I knew now, I would try to do things different. But I am where I am because I needed to go through that. And then, so then my dad was disappointed. That fractured the relationship because I started getting him in the trouble.
As 14-year-old boy and 15-year-old boys do. Yeah. And adolescents, yeah?
Well, that's right. I got kicked out of school, wasn't allowed back in. Funny thing about that is I get kicked out of school because I kept wagging and
things, no shit. There
and
you
things
go.
That I was doing.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, only a couple of years ago, they want me to go and speak at the school. But it's not happy for me to leave. I can't remember the name of the principal. She was keen for me to get out of there.
So yeah.
Probably fair. I was probably disrupting people, other kids from learning. I wasn't even there. And some kids
you didn't enjoy school.
I really didn't. I always just...
Was it a co-ed or just all boys or...?
No, it was both. But yep. I was not dumb. I wasn't dumb. I just...
You weren't attentive.
Diagnosed with the
ADHD
a couple of years ago. I tried to take the meds, but like, fuck that.
Yeah.
But then, so I could understand why my attention span or wanting to really just would be floating off in anywhere.
Especially at that age.
Yeah, I understand why.
Yeah.
So, I just couldn't get it. I felt dumb.
Yeah, okay. But your learning path was probably different than other kids. And that's the same as me. At 14, I could still read, but my attention, what's that shiny thing over there? Oh, what's that shiny thing? And, and run off and, let's go do this. And let's go, play cricket out in the backyard.
And I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. Some things I just didn't get. So it was always hard. And, that probably...
How did you get out of that period? Where did you position yourself? Did someone help you? Was there a coach or a dad or...?
No, well, I got actually kicked out of school.
Yep.
And then I was kind of parents... Well, my dad probably gave up hope on me because, and this was probably when I was about 16. So I was kind of trying to find a job wherever I could. It was working at a Chinese restaurant as a kitchen hand. Yeah, right. That was my job. And, because I was earning a little bit of money, I didn't know. So that probably escalated what I was doing.
Yeah, okay.
And smoke and whatever. Just... really not having any idea about anything, just really and not being aware of maybe how that was hurting my parents. But I remember going back and still playing local football in Bathurst. We had a major semi-final and I was out with mates the night before, got pissed.
yeah.
And then woke up 2 o'clock, slept through the alarm.
Game was at 3?
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? I jumped in the taxi, went there. I didn't even realise I'd cut myself down the face. I couldn't really see. I literally went straight onto the park. And
scored a hat-trick.
Nah. We lost, but I let down.
Yeah,
I let down my teammates. I let down
yourself.
My parents. But you don't realise that.
No, right?
You let all that. But then... later on in life, you just realize that it's only yourself that you're letting.
Can I ask you a question? Why is it that, growing up, and obviously you're an exception, but growing up, when I was growing up, so many players that were great at 15, 16 ended up dropping out of school and either becoming just laborers and never playing soccer really at a high level, but they had that opportunity. Is it because we, in Australia, we don't have a system for younger players that reward them because maybe is it not enough teams here? Is the market too small? Or is there no pathway for them to go overseas?
Are you talking about now or back then?
Back then. Back when we were growing up, you're a bit older than me, but I found so many of our 16-year-old friends who were really good just never really made it to that next level because they dropped out of school and they went in and earned money and they fell into that partying. And
Well, I think that's...
Is that just... There's no one...
Well, sometimes it takes something to pull you out of that. And it took me something to pull me out of the life that I was kind of heading towards. Working in a Chinese restaurant, really no prospects, wasted talent. But then I saw Harry Kuehl, who I had played football with throughout the rep team.
Yep.
And very similar players at that stage. He obviously went on because he was so dedicated to his football. Loved it. Everything he did.
He got picked up by Leeds at that
Leeds,
age.
Yes. But he was super.
He was already on that. On the radar.
Just because he had that
that brain.
Yeah.
That discipline. Single
single-minded discipline. Yeah. And he took the opportunity. And there was a lot of players did that, but it didn't happen for me. And then I saw him working at the Chinese restaurant on TV, And he just signed a contract with Leeds, ridiculous amount of money. I think it was £90,000. This was when I was about 16, 17. I might have been 17. I was like, what?
Is he a little bit older than you?
Or
is
no, same age. Same age. Same yeah, age. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, what? We were same kind of level. He's gone on.
Same pathway, yeah. yeah.
And he's gone on. And I've kind of making sweet and sour sauce. Making it good, by the way. And special fried rice. Yeah. I was a bastard. Right? But I was like, man, that's it. I made that decision to go, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes, you know. And because my parents had sacrificed a lot. But it's really down to that. If you're ever going to go anywhere, it's really down to the individual. Your parents can lay out the red carpet for you, but if you're going to walk on the side of it, you can have all the talent in the world.
Well, exactly right.
And I've seen it all, man.
The hard work, man. It's all about the hard work,
yeah,
isn't it?
I've seen it all. And I thought, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I went home, told my mum and my dad, I'm like, I want to get back into football seriously. And so I stayed at the Chinese restaurant for a little bit longer. I would run home from training. I cut out all of the people. And this is, I probably would have done things differently about mm-hmm. the way that I cut off some friendships, because they were amazing people. And they would have seen this, Will Hunting, like taking a bat to anyone that would have like fucked with me.
Yeah. Okay.
Like they were just, but
they would have been there for you at the end of time.
But
of course.
For me, I couldn't be in that environment.
Yeah, of course. Which is the first step, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? Like, and I think of making that decision,
Trim away at
yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I started that, and my body was like, I hardly really played. I was eating Chinese food. I mean, even at that age, I wrecked my body.
You know? Yeah, okay.
So I said to myself, okay, I'll run home. It was not far, mate. I was coughing up a lung. I stopped about 20 times when I got home. I was
wow.
Man, this is going to be hard. But every time I made a run, it was like, okay, it
got easier and easier.
Yeah. 20 times I stopped became 15 times I stopped. Five. And then when I got home, I was like, man, I know I'm onto something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what? The universe starts opening up stuff, like starts opening up opportunities.
Well, activity breeds activity, doesn't it? You know,
and I'm strong on
belief.
Belief and attracting and I guess within this is what was happening to me. And out of the blue, I got a call from a next coach.
Mm-hmm.
His son was playing in an NSL team. He said,
"With who?
With Gippsland Falcons.
Oh yeah,
Morwell Falcons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Frank Arrock.
Arrock.
Yeah, God bless
I wanted to see if he was in.
Not at that time. But I think." There was, as I went in there, there were the ones that left were Markowski, these amazing players.
Yeah, amazing players.
One of the best left foots I've played with. But, I the opportunity came and I said, bang, I'm going to take it. My dad, even to all the shit that I had gone through, he said, let's drive there and we'll take you there. I went out and it was a gravel car park, and people have heard this, gravel car park, not even on the football pitch, outside of it. A car park, Frank Arrock was a... You know, I guess he wanted to see if you really wanted it enough. So he goes, here, do it. You're going to do it here. And I didn't really care, man, because this was an opportunity.
Yeah, 100%.
And I didn't know when it was going to come again.
Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
already been given
And you'd work to it. You work towards it again.
Yeah.
You know?
And I threw myself into that, like, cuts and bruises and blood. But then after, he's like, okay, we're going to sign him. He called me a spriller. I don't know if you're a spriller.
Yeah. Of course, Colombian.
Yeah. So then that's how... I got
Newcastle. That's right.
And that's how I got into it. I mean, there was a lot of different roads and, you know, ups and downs, a lot of... but it kind of just got laid into my path. But I made that decision. I know I've seen a lot of talented players at that age, but, you know, it's something still has to click inside.
Yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
You can have the talent.
Did it waver? So when you got signed there, did you find that you had anything that, you know, you kind of were attracted back to falling out of that a little bit? Or,
I mean, was it always?
Or was it always just you were like, nah, early, I know exactly what to, I need to do right now. And
yeah, early on in my NSL career, I was so dedicated and focused. I mean, it took a little while for me to actually get into the first team.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once I was in there, it's like, you're almost kind of taken under the wing by a lot of the senior players.
Of course, as they do.
And then that's when you go back into that.
Well, there's a respect that's built, but you know, you they start respecting you as well. So they start telling you those the little secrets of the world.
And then you start to, like, you know, you just get back, you're back to playing a game. Straight after the game, you go party. So, you know, that was a bit of a cycle and you could do it. Like, I could do it. And, well, I don't think I did it well on reflection, but that was just part
and parcel with it, wasn't it?
Not as much now, I don't think. It's definitely a...
The professionalism's definitely...
incredible.
And it's more scrutinised nowadays, isn't it? It really is.
And I feel like the kids are a little bit more switched on. It's like they're getting taught...
better habits, maybe?
Better habits. Well, I mean,
You don't have great gas coins running around.
My environment going in there, like, you know, there was a lot of shit going on behind the scenes, you know, and when you're almost like a product of your environment. So I thought that's the way that you...
That was the norm.
The norm. Yeah, so that's how you fit in, and that's how, you know, that's how you behave, and that's how you take it, you know, things that maybe go against all your morals and your core beliefs. I didn't probably even know what my core beliefs were. I didn't even know
at that age.
Well, yeah.
And what? How old were you when you got into that first team and at the in the NSL?
Oh, I was probably 17.
Yeah, right.
17, maybe just turning 18. So I was like, and that was a lot of talented players back then.
Yeah,
I mean, I had more Falcons than Eddie Krencevich, like superstar of you know, that generation, and. Or like John Markowski, Lubo Lebsanski, Andrew Marr, Steve Horvath. Like, I could go through a list of them. Amazing. So, I mean, I was playing against some of the best in Australia. So, but it didn't take me long to... I remember my first game against Sydney Olympic away. It was Johnny Warren, actually.
Johnny.
Yeah, because he loved Brazilian football.
Yeah.
And when I used to... You know, dribble, I take players.
Yeah. Drop the shoulder.
Yeah, love it. And he saw, like, I played 20 minutes and he was like, wow. He got the highlights. He goes, this is Archie Thompson. I love the way that he plays. He's like, so that was my first sort of experience. So then from then on, it just seemed to just bang, 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 bang. I just went from there to Carlton. The flunk, but then went overseas. So,
with Johnny, did he become? Were you close with him over time?
I mean, like, you
did
know,
you ever, like,
whenever we'd be in the same room or
have
been
a chat
on the show, amazing guy, like so passionate about his
football. Well, then both of them.
Les and Murray.
Yeah, mate.
I mean,
that's when I was growing up. That's all it was.
That was our only connection.
Like,
really.
I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
Well, that's our only connection to football, was through the World Games.
Yeah, on SBS.
Yeah,
100%.
We didn't have anything else. So,
you know, once every Christmas or Boxing Day, you'd get on ABC, you'd get the Premier League game.
Yeah.
Remember that over news? There was a couple of them that would come up.
Yeah, I didn't, like, even, I used to watch a couple of the old NSL games, but man, it looked like some dude was just on the camcorder. It was so hard to bloody watch that shit. And to be fair, man, I'm not someone that watches football. Like, I as soon as I play my game or whatever, that was it.
You disconnect from that.
I can disconnect.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, when I was there, I loved it. But I wasn't mad obsessed with football like other people are. Like, like I said from the beginning, it was more for my dad. That's probably why I wasn't so 100% professional.
Okay.
Because I like to have fun.
There was more to life than football.
Well, that's,
you know what I mean?
100%. I didn't let it... I still want to win.
Of course, like, we always want to. I'm playing squash at the moment.
Yeah.
Only because I want to win.
Well, you want to win. I've still got that. That if I didn't have that competitiveness, even though I could switch off from it, when it came to, like, not... It still would worry me a little bit. I wish I could have done better, but I was more worried about what people were saying than what I was actually thinking about. Like, I missed a goal or something, and then you start, people go, oh shit, and then all of a sudden you start questioning your own ability.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what kept me into, but once I sort of was like, cut that off, and I was like, able just to go, okay, I'll enjoy it there, and when I'm out of there, I'm like, it's good.
That's
I'm
it.
Done. I'm done. Yeah.
And then you went to Carlton. That was the start of the A-League? Or was that the end of the NSL?
End of NSL. Oh, no, it wasn't then yet. I think I left Carlton when they went into receivership.
Yeah, okay.
Liquidation, whatever it was.
Yeah, and yeah, then, yeah. That was a wild time because there was a time where didn't you guys win?
Oh, like they got to the grand final their first year.
That's right.
I went the next year. Oh, halfway through the next year, I think it was like a record at the time for $40,000 at that
transfer fee. Yeah.
Excuse me, Eddie Krencevich was the coach, so he saw me as a player. He actually wanted me to come the first year, but I feel like I got stitched at Morwell with the
city. Oh, really?
But it's a beautiful place. I enjoyed it. Good people. That real country vibe, real community.
Yeah, definitely.
Went there just halfway through the season and then playing with amazing players. Bresciano.
Yeah, they had a good team.
Villa left. Vella.
Who was the defender?
Vince Grella left. Marco Bresciano.
But who was the defender that broke his leg?
Oh, Simon Colosimo.
It's Colosimo, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, man, it was a good
squad.
Yeah. And so when that happened, I went to Marconi. Then I went overseas for 4 years.
And tell me about that whole transfer. Because you would have been, what was you, 20?
20, 21. 20? So I left,
So you're leaving everyone behind you?
Yeah. And taking it was with my ex-wife, girlfriend at the time, went over.
What was the transition like going over there?
Tough. Because small pond here, go over there, you're all of a sudden
it's just another number.
Yeah, and then there's so more, there's definitely a lot, what's the word I'm looking for?
Stricter?
Yeah, stricter, but then I think they demand more.
Ah, yes.
So they're
their training sessions.
More critical about your performances.
Yeah, definitely.
And then also too,
their training regimes are fucking hard.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. And if you don't hit the ground running there, it's hard.
You just get pushed to
the side. Yeah, right. Someone else will come in. I mean, I was playing at the time, I scored a few goals, getting used to the environment, the football, that really cutthroat business over there.
Yeah.
I could be
your own stew, your own. I was
big dog.
But can I ask, was that decision to go over there not just because you've left here as the big dog, was that to push to make the national team, or was
I wanted to go overseas.
You just wanted to go overseas? That's
always
it.
Wanted to go overseas. Yeah, okay. And experience that. Always the dream was to go overseas. And most kids that grow up in Australian football want to go overseas.
Of course.
Playing the top leagues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I it was a bit of a learning curve. It took me a little while. A new coach came in the second year. Didn't like my attitude. Put me, I'm someone that likes to have a laugh, even if we lose.
Yeah, of course.
I try to see the funny.
Similar like that. Yeah.
But this guy, Emilio Ferreira.
Okay.
Tough, cruel.
Yeah. Which is
a nice person.
When you're 21, that's not a nice thing.
No, not a nice person. And so he, saw that, didn't like the mentality. Really, nothing I could do was going
to
please
him. Pushed you aside.
Pushed aside. And he tried to sort of break me in ways of training with the under 13s on a Wednesday night in Belgium, freezing cold, all the time.
Yeah, right.
Seriously just cut off. I tried to go to other places. I was going to go to Denmark. I don't know what happened there. There was an opportunity. But then all of a sudden, he got rid of signed some players on.
Which gave the opportunity for you to...
And then they were struggling with relegation.
Yeah, okay.
And then he's like, okay, I need strikers. So he brought me back in.
Okay.
And I got the thing was, it really... I was back in, but I didn't enjoy it because, I was always looking around the corner. Where's he going to be? I start to laugh and he's on, and I'm like,
You couldn't be yourself.
I couldn't be myself. Yeah. I lost myself.
Yeah, okay.
Even though I was back playing, but
But were you performing on the ground?
Yeah, I made some...
Okay, interesting.
We won some big games. I scored some goals. Took us back out of the relegation.
Awesome.
Different sort of pressure.
Was his attitude different towards you during that? Did it start... Because of your performance on the field, was he being a bit more...
Yeah, well, I think because he needed me.
Of course.
He needed me. But then I really... It kind of made me grow in a way that I needed to be a little bit more...
Professional?
Professional, more focused, maybe take things a little bit seriously. And it helped, but it really just took away from who I was.
It took away the fun out of it.
Yeah. And for me, football was fun, that wasn't fun. And then he went on to a bigger job.
But that's funny you say that, because that old school mentality was like that. It's a job. It's professional.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be fun.
Nah.
I remember growing up as well, and the amount of coaches I had that fucking didn't like me being the larrikin.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. Some do like it, some don't. Some are quite like really, are just so focused. They just
focus. Yeah. They want you to win. That's all they want.
Win, win, doesn't matter. Forget the human
side of it. Yeah, and they just treat you like a bloody, a product.
Yeah, but then, that happened. New coaches came in, they liked me. I had one of my best seasons the last year of my time in Belgium, one of the top goal scorers.
Awesome.
And then Melbourne Victory.
And then this era began.
Yes, and but it was...
So during that period of you leaving to Lies and Belgium, you came back and the A-League had already started. That was the first season.
First season.
Cool, so they pulled you in for the first season.
First season,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
And my ex-wife was pregnant with our second child. So we had our daughter over in Belgium. Hard, that was, because it was tough because...
No family support.
Yeah, no family. Even the club wasn't paying us on time, and we'd go stretches without having money and have to ring home. There was some really tough times, beautiful times, more beautiful times than tough.
Tough, yep.
But my daughter was born there, and then we're having my second child, and we just felt like, okay, well, let's go back. Even though I didn't want to, because I had already established myself in there, I was starting to play good football. But I just felt like, okay, this might be more of a family move than actually me staying
career there. Move. The yeah.
Selfish athlete, because you have to be selfish. And they say team sport, but it's not.
You're playing for yourself. You're playing for yourself, of course.
You're playing for yourself.
Especially at that level, you start.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, you're still a team and you still enjoy those moments, but really...
Well, you got to fight for your position.
Yeah.
Which means you're fighting for your contract.
So it's like it all works, but it's an individual sport. You still got your selfish things, and being a striker too. That's another level of selfishness.
Yeah. Because your numbers are evident.
You're the main man. You've got to win games. You've got to 100%. Score goals. That's
like Haaland at the moment. He's not scoring goals. He's not scoring goals, and now they're on his back.
Oh no! It's crazy. That's a really you can be like here and then there
straight away. It's crazy. In a heartbeat.
Got the opportunity. Like Gary Cole, I think, or Ernie Merrick gave me a call and said, "Look, this." Spoke to, and I was a bit reluctant because the old NSL was. I'm thinking it's going to be the same, and I'm going to be taking a step backwards from where I am. But ever since I made that move. Little few bumps of trying to establish a new club, not having all
training. Well, a new league as well.
New league, new training facilities, coaches, new, like, just sort of almost sort of grab whatever player they could get. And it was like hard at the start because I was this big fish in a small pond. I was big ego.
Yeah.
I had ego coming back from Europe to here.
Of course.
Looking back on some of my behaviours and the selfishness and of that first year. And, it never leaves. You've got to have it, some kind of ego.
Yeah.
But if you use it in the right way.
In a positive way.
Yeah, in a positive way.
Yeah.
So that was the first year was a real learning curve. But then, when the excitement of having football, like a one team where everyone can support, hottest ticket in town, people wanted to go.
And they were playing at Telstra Stadium.
We were playing at Optus. Optus. It was
Optus. Telstra, the one in Docklands.
No.
Where?
Optus Park. No, not Optus. What am I? I can't even remember what it's called now. Where Amy is.
Oh, the one next door.
Yeah.
That was that called? That was called Olympic.
Olympic,
yes.
Where am I going? I'm thinking of Optus.
That's
right. Optus, stop stinging me. Olympic Park, man.
That's right. Jammed.
Yeah, 30,000, 14,000. And we were hot. Like, first 8 games we were on top. We won every, I think we won nearly every game.
Yeah, wow.
We just smashed Sydney 5-0. I scored 2 goals. Our first game was against Sydney, 20,000, scored the first goal for victory. So, man, we were flying. But then, you know.
I love that you still remember.
Oh, no, you remember your goals.
Yeah, you do.
But you know what? I always sometimes look back on my on the goals now. But it's not like sometimes I look at my goals that I felt like were good. But if I scored a goal, I look back and I say this so many times, I look at the reaction of supporters.
Ah.
I see what their reaction, how they go nuts. So still now, like even when I watch a A-League game or Premier League game, I'm like, great goal.
Look at the reaction.
Let me see what they're...
Well, what it means to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just what joy you bring to that, you know? I love that. So whenever I would look back on that, I would do it. But I remember that very clearly because we won 5-0, beautiful day. Massive stadium pump and top of the league, then the wheels fell off. Like you could see
the egos,
maybe the inexperience, maybe not the quality of players to keep us at that level, and that's where we kind of just I don't think we won a game
what
until the end.
Really?
Yeah, but these were shorter seasons.
So who won that first season? Sydney won that.
They had a star player.
They okay.
But then you know, second year we recruited well. We got good experience, good core. You know, for myself personally, I it was more the team, than myself. I mean, like, still, it has to be yourself, but it's more the team. It's doing the selfless things that I would probably wasn't doing in the first year. And all of a sudden, we killed. Like, we were winning. We started playing at Telstra Dome,
yes.
Marvel Stadium.
Yeah,
packing it out.
Yeah.
Like, man, it was just unbelievable time, and then you know, we make our first final series. We won the league. It was pumping it. I remember the game was 4-1. We beat Auckland at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And then we make it to the finals, and 50,000-60,000 people, 6-0.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
You scored a few.
Yes. That was unbelievable.
Like, yeah.
It was amazing. I
remember that.
It pops up now and then.
It does. It pops up. The highlights always pop up.
Yeah, and like if it's an anniversary or...
Yeah.
And it might be shown on the socials of like a victory or whatever. And that's when it takes me back to there.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And then I'll go, oh, wow.
What was that, 205? Yeah, 204?
6-7.
6-7, okay, 6-7. Right.
So the league started 5.
Ah, but you skipped something.
Yeah, what's it?
The World Cup.
Oh, yeah, the World Cup. that was...
You were part of that team.
Yeah, because Hiddink came in, and that was a hard team
Because me and two of my mates, we drove to Sydney for the Uruguay game, and we saw that qualifier.
Yeah, man. Insane.
Wild.
Well, 30-odd years we hadn't qualified for a World Cup. I remember
Hiddink. You know, the 93 Iran game, you know, here at MCG,
yes.
where the guy jumped in the net, we're at 2-0, yeah. And then it was 2-2.
Yeah.
And then I was there, and then 97 was... 97 was...
That would have been, I think...
Sorry, that's 97. 93 was Argentina.
Yes.
Maradona was still playing.
And I think...
Remember when he came here, Mayhem?
2001 was, I think, when we won at the MCG but lost it.
Over in Uruguay.
Yeah.
Yes, and then in...
Oh, no, 2002. I can't remember. But we kept just missing.
201. 201 for the 202 World Cup, yeah. And then the 205
was
the one in Sydney, and that was next level.
Yeah, so it was hard to break into that squad.
100%, like, that would have been.
Had his, like, kind of had his favourites, had his core. Didn't matter what you were doing, you weren't really going to break into that.
Mm.
He didn't come in and goes, okay, guys, clean slate. I want people that can do a job for me.
And this is how I'm playing. This is how I'm going to set it up. Who's going to do it best for me?
And that's where we all got an opportunity. And so it's people that thought they could just walk in, weren't walking in anymore, you know. And all of a sudden I get thrown into a game at Montevideo.
Yeah.
Starting in 2005. I remember, like...
What was that like? What was that atmosphere there?
Oh, mate. Same. Like the anthem, the ground shaking. Like it was just... I wish I could go back and kind of have that feel again. I just know it was a while ago now that it was insane and intimidating, and they were just a really good team,
especially
at home. But we managed to scrape by. But then you know, when I remember the night before I saw my name in the starting lineup, I was like, what the fuck? I mean, even feel like everyone around was going, what's going on? It's like, you know. But, you know, I did what I had to do and then come back and, like, you know, you remember where you are in those moments.
Yeah, yeah,
2005, yeah. Everyone knows where they were for the qualifier. 2000, you know, those iconic moments. Cappy Freeman with the 2000.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
That everyone remembers it, you know.
Yeah.
Being there was an amazing night. And we, you know, we managed to scrape through and go to a World Cup. Unbelievable experience.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. Great. Like, it was such a good... I felt like that was a real brotherhood, that...
that team?
Yeah, that team. You know, maybe later on, egos start getting a bit bigger. And, but that's just part of...
Part of parcel. Well,
part of growing up.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
But, you know, beautiful. Like, we're still... Everyone's... When you know, I see a lot of those guys still when I work on the weekend with Paramount and 10, like, you know, Aloisi... Popovich, you know, all these guys are coaching now. I was there
with them. Yeah.
We always still, we don't probably reminisce as much as what we did, but
other than that stupid Italian dive.
But, yeah.
I remember where I was when that happened.
Yeah,
it was like 3 a.m. here.
Yeah.
At a bunch of, you know, mates' places. They were all half Italian.
Yeah.
So they were like kind of up, kind of not.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. It was an amazing experience. But
So so obviously there was the victory part, and then you went over to
PSV.
PSV.
I was at PSV for the World Cup because Hiddink, the football wasn't going to last long in the A-League. There was going to be a long period where I wasn't playing.
I still wanted you to keep your training and whatnot.
Yeah, he brought me there for that. And plus, they didn't have any strikers at the time because they were injured.
Okay.
I went there. Probably didn't help the way that, like, I might have been not so professional. And, you know, getting tattoos, getting infected, missing out a game. Like, you know, these are the stupid things that I do.
This is
know?
Life.
Yeah. Well, I mean... it's my life, so probably not the things you do. And then, it was an amazing experience. Like, I played 10 minutes in the time that I was there. Right. Won the Eredivisie. Celebrated harder than anyone.
Did right? you?
I was sat on the bench for a Champions League knockout stage against Lyon.
Oh, yeah, right.
Benzema, Maluda.
Wow.
All those guys.
Yeah.
Jorginho. Leon State was pumped, man. I'm incredible. I remember Koku got sent off in that game, actually.
Koku, what? Philip Koku?
Yeah.
So, was he playing still at that stage? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was too.
Benagura Hassan.
Yeah, what a team. Boyer, what a team.
Affle, yeah.
Who's top did you get? Did you get a top?
Oh, nah.
No.
Nah, I didn't. Doesn't bother me, that sort of thing. I mean, I got a Messi shirt. When they came and played
Did you? Yeah.
In 2007 here in Australia. I got Messi's shirt, beelined it to him.
Did you?
Got a shirt. And I said, my son wears it. Like,
he wears it.
Oh, mate,
what's the point? What's the point of
having it? What's the point of bloody, you know, playing at all these clubs if you're not going to wear your shirts?
Sure.
I mean, you hang them up, okay, whatever. I like wearing them.
Yep.
I was wearing my PSV because I got given a lot of... I was wearing my PSV jersey
the other day. Awesome.
Why not?
Exactly. What's the point of having him?
Yeah, so I've given a lot away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, some people like that to remember it, or maybe it's a show off. I don't care, but for me,
But you don't dwell on it.
Nah, I don't worry too much. I got Jorginho's jersey after the Brazil game. I think it's somewhere in the drawer there. I got Inzaghi's shirt.
Oh, wicked.
After the Italian game, I think my son just found it.
He's caught it out.
No, I was like, wear it. Go, you could do whatever. I actually might get him. Who cares? But yeah, like, so that was an amazing experience. But, you know.
So after the PSV experience, you came back for the second.
No, I came back for the second time, and that's when we
Dominated.
And then, you know, and that's how victory started. And
this is where it is now, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
Through that legacy of that.
Yeah, you... I mean, it's like it's a new generation of supporters, new generation of players. Like, there's only maybe a couple of people there that I see now that are from when it started. But, like, you know, the landscape of sport, it's difficult. Our football's kind of plateaued a little bit at the moment. Mm. But there's good young talented player.
Is so, there?
Yeah. And I mean, but for me, I love football. I love working on it because it's what I like, what I love to.
Mm.
Not because of the actual. I like to see good football, but I like going there because I like working with my colleagues.
Yeah.
I like having a laugh. I connect with the supporters and fans. I'm like, that's why I go. That's what I enjoy my work. If it's good football and the guy's doing good, yeah, it's cool.
Are you working within the community and working with the youth at all? With the players? Yeah, you looking to do that at all?
I do this playbook, like it's a playbook platform that you can do mentoring for kids. They have coaching, but I'm not yet. Not interested in coaching. it doesn't
interest you.
Definitely doesn't interest me. But you know, where I can give advice, I try.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I have learned now, I try to, not necessarily just for football, like with, drinking and whatever. Yeah. I gave that up 2 years ago because I just saw how destructive it was and how it has been.
And is that post-career as well? Was that post-career, the drinking? Or was it during as well?
No, like I did everything during.
Yeah, okay.
And I just didn't realise, and I didn't see how much it affected me,
mm-hmm.
how much it affected the people that, like my friends, my family,
yep.
people that I love. And, you know, I couldn't guarantee which person would rock up if I...
After drinking.
Oh, mate. It was just such a shit time, you know, I wasn't fun for me. Like it became not fun. And you know, there was some good times, but there was a lot more bad times than good. And then so when I through some guidance, I decided, okay, this is I'm deciding to give the drink away. And not that I was someone that would be drinking every day.
But it's just when you weren't a good person.
I woke up thinking, what did I do? Who do I offend? What did I say?
Who would I have to apologize to?
Oh, who did I hurt? And then anxiety and fear around that.
Like, yeah, okay.
Of like, you know, what was my behaviors? And then all of a sudden you get told and like, oh man, why did I do that again? And again and again. And I'm like, this time's different. The same.
Yeah.
The same. And then, you know, all of a sudden I went, you know what, that's it. I'm going to try without it. And...
How's it been? How are you finding it?
The thing is that, like...
It's up here, isn't it?
You've
got to make the decision yourself.
You do. But, you know, behaviours and people that I hurt help kick that along. But you've got to make that decision yourself.
Yeah.
And then... But then you can't run. You can't hide. You can't run away from your behaviours, how you act. It just brings it all out.
Oh, you're more accountable.
More present to see it, and to feel it, because you're not trying to mask whatever you're feeling. A lot of it just stems from maybe how you were brought up, your environment.
Definitely,
how you felt as... I mean, I remember being like, you know, a kid. The only way that I felt connected was... And because I was such a shy, introverted kid, if I had a drink or whatever, bang, I'm all of a sudden... I'm funny.
Yeah.
I can, you know, chat with girls. I can be everything that I couldn't be when I was.
Mm.
And I think that stemmed on, even though
Through the football, the confidence grew, so you probably didn't need it anymore.
It's still... That's the environment we're in, and going to events, that was just the norm, and then shit behaviours, acting like a dick. All of a sudden, I've realised in this 2 years how, you want to be the best parent you can possibly be. And I just realised when I started this journey how absent I was.
Mm.
Like, not absent is in, like, I'm not in their lives. When I was there, I wasn't there. And that was for a long time. So this whole journey, I've actually really had to have a real good look at it, how I turned up as a dad, brother, son. I even posted about how I was in relationships, how I would just run.
Yeah.
When things got hard, or how I went straight to anger, because that's how I knew how to cope.
Now
I've, you know,
you're dealing with all of those within yourself, and understanding how to deal with that, manage that.
Man,
yeah,
man, it's hard. And then, you know, I went through, you know, a lot of spiritual work, healing, like I'm so strong in all those sort of things. And people might see me at the football and go, oh, you know, but still for me, that's a real, I get really anxious around big crowds,
yeah,
even because it takes a lot of energy. Because I want to make people feel good.
Well, they suck it out as well.
And I want to make people feel good. I want them to be happy, and I want them. And then so when you go, it takes me like a day or so to go, okay, got to
build that back up
again, you know. And it's kind of where I was all over the place throughout my life, and now I've got some ground, and like I'm grounded. My foundations are strong. My relationship with my kids. Fucking solid.
Awesome.
Well, that's all I've ever wanted.
Awesome.
Wanted to turn up as a good dad.
How many? Two kids.
Yeah. You know, they came down and celebrated with me my 2 year, like because I had an anniversary date for that, and then you know my dad came and celebrated with me too.
Awesome.
So through this journey.
So if anything, everything's gotten stronger through this journey.
Oh man, my work's better. I'm more reliable. I wasn't.
Well, thanks for rocking up.
Yeah, but yeah, my word now. Like, if I can, I will.
Yes.
My word wasn't.
It didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean anything.
Yeah. Okay.
And like, I'd try to get out of things if I could. Mm. Now
I know what you mean.
I try to turn up, man.
Yeah.
Turn up and be like. Sometimes I'm not going to get it right, but. Taking the action to be there, you know. Mm. I was not an action person. I procrastinated.
You're reactive.
Yeah, man.
Reactive, if anything.
But I never took action in trying to, I would like even improve things. I always felt like they were just going to fall into your lap, and so. But you've got to take the action.
Yeah, you've got to work for it.
Yeah, and I took the action, and it's pretty much like with my football. I had to take the action to become that. The action now is that, like, you know, it's a different. Like, I'm not the footballer anymore. And Henri said it just beautifully, and I posted it because I thought it just connected with me so much. Like the athlete dies.
Yeah,
like, you
okay.
know, like
so what's after? What's after?
You know? I can't do any of the things. Mm, like, like I can go and play football. I don't get the same buzz. Like, you know,
yeah.
I'll never get that buzz again as playing for Australia. Like he said it perfectly, playing in the Premier League.
Who was that?
Henri.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, and people go like. They're excited to have you there. You're playing NPL or whatever. It doesn't
do the same. Not when you've reached
that.
It doesn't
ignite anything in you.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the athlete's died, and now this is...
The next pathway, and that's...
Yeah, and now it's like about me kind of unveiling that, like, who I am really. You know? And people are starting to see that, and you know, all the flaws and, you know, my kids are, like I said, my relationship, my dad, my kids, my ex-wife, who I was a fucking prick to, and my behaviours were, you know, still to this day, like, you know, really sting. But, you know, I just realised I was a sick person back then. I wasn't, like, able to see it. I can see it now. And now before that big fucking roadblock comes and I'm usually punching into it, now I'm kind of like, okay, it's coming. What can I do to kind of go like that? I'm better at that.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, and we're all trying to do the best we can. I'm trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good work colleague, son, brother, whatever, partner. And, you know, I've had to learn the hard way as we do.
Yeah.
Growing up, but, you know, I'm better for it. Like, I feel... You're just more...
You're a better person to be around.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's what it is, man. You know? Like, you know... People want to be around you.
Yes, and
I started to realise that. Like, you know, they were the people that were hanging around because I was like the good time Archie and the football Archie. It's like,
well, where are they now? In a sense,
yeah. And yeah. I still have, but it's different. My group is really just kind of, I love being by myself. When I was by myself before, I was destructive.
Yeah. Okay.
Now when I'm by myself, I...
What do I do? I've got so much time.
Yeah, there's peace.
Yeah,
I have peace,
right.
Man.
Yeah.
Progress, not perfection. And I, you know, strive for peace, and I feel like I'm getting it, you know. I got this Royal Enfield at the front there, my motorbike.
But yeah. You know, that's your escape, isn't it?
Yeah, man, that's yeah, well, I wouldn't even say escape. It's just I like what I enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't have to escape from anything now. Before, I was running from everything. Running from fears, fucking everything. But now, everything that I do is like I feel full with, you know. Yeah.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
Cool. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Good place to be. Mm. Do you find that you would you have changed anything other than? So would you have changed anything in the past? What would be one thing that you would have changed?
I would have changed the drinking.
Okay.
I would have
from the get go.
I would have cut that out a long time ago. And okay. You know, I'm not saying that everyone's like, you know.
It's funny because you mentioned that game at Bathurst.
Yeah.
Back then. The day before you drank.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. How much in between happened. You know what I mean? That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, like, some people can take it and leave it, you know?
Mm.
I have one, I've got to have another.
Yeah.
It's like I go 0 to 100.
Zero to hero.
Zero to
a hero. That's
but
right.
Really not a hero. But a lot of my own. Mm-hmm.
We think we're heroes. Yeah.
100%. Now, the funny thing is, when I go to somewhere, if it's enough for me,
I'm done.
I don't have to try to
impress anyone or be someone that you're not meant to be. That's right.
That's it, yeah. Man. So if I could go back, I would go bang. I'm not drinking anymore, and then I would see how. Then I would deal with all the stuff that I needed to deal with. You know. But it probably wouldn't have been presented to me back then. You know, I've had beautiful people in my life guide me to where I am now. So, like, it's good. I've got good people around me.
Good.
Great people. And everyone's a good person, I like to believe.
Mm.
If they're going through something or they're a bit thing, it's their own stuff.
100%. And everyone's always going through something. Everyone's different.
Yeah. And I've realised it's like... it's their stuff, like, sometimes, you know? It's
That's right. And yeah. You can't interject into that. You can only let that person go on their own journey,
yeah.
Like we all do.
Yeah, but, like but sometimes I'm all...
Sometimes we wait for
I get
people.
Dragged into it.
100%. And sometimes I think some characters wait for someone to pull them out of it. Sometimes there's no one there. You've got to pull yourself out of it.
Amen.
You know, and that's the hardest part.
Oh, man.
That's the hardest part, is realizing yourself...
Yeah.
Through your own actions and that, you know. That.
Yeah, and you've got to get to the...
You're the one that's accountable for it, no one else.
Yeah, and you've got to get to that
point. Yeah. And that...
I've been there, like, a couple of times in my life, so I know what that's like, and I don't... And you're going to go there, you're going to get there, but I've got better tools of dealing with that than, you know, going to whatever.
We went from here to there, now we're back up there.
I think for me, the end part of it is where my journey's at now.
This is the beginning.
Yeah, that's the beginning.
This is the beginning.
Football was an amazing part of my life. Yeah. It still is a big part of my life. It's not who I am now. I still work in the industry and I still want kids to have a great journey because that's what they want to do and love.
But you can teach kids through what your path is.
Just a different way of teaching.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, hanging out and drinking all the time and smoking Marlboros isn't the way it'll be anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, look, mate. Like, you know, I'm not perfect.
Being a David Boone.
I'm not perfect. Yeah. But I'm not. That's right.
You know what I mean? Like that was a different time.
Yeah.
That really was. You know, Paul Gascoigne's and.
Yeah. And I will say that I like far from don't. I'm far from getting it right.
No.
You know, the old Archie creeps back in sometimes, but I'm quick to reel that.
Yeah. We all get that, don't we?
Yeah.
Like you said, I think I wrote here, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Ah, yes. The book that I had, like, someone write with me telling it.
Yeah.
But if I could, I'd probably do it differently now.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's there.
You did it. I was there,
Before we wrap it up, and thank you so much, what's the biggest highlight of your career? What would have been? What's the biggest of the football?
Of my life or football?
Footballing, life.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. I feel like every
experience. There's every different section of your career, like, there was a different highlight? Yeah, or?
You know, always a highlight going playing for the Australian team.
Yeah.
Not many people get to do it. Although I feel like there was a period there where they were just giving
out. Oh, you're dishing it out to everyone.
Yeah, like watered down.
It was sort of like the cricket as well, with the baggy green. Oh.
But then I can understand you're trying to find someone that will
step up
into that environment. So I understand where you are, but like, you know, that was given out and watered it down a little bit, but still pinnacle. Not many people get to say they represented Australia and the Socceroos. Victory, you know, winning the championships, watching it grow, seeing the fan base.
Holding records, world record.
Yeah,
a world record. A
world record.
Was it 13?
13. A movie being made about
that. I saw that. Yeah. Wild. So, yeah, have you had any input in that movie at all?
Nothing.
Nothing?
But, you know, I think about these crazy things that have happened, like being part of the Socceroos, going to a World Cup after 35 years, being part of a game that was a world record, 31 goals, 13 goals in that, scoring five goals in a grand final. I don't feel that will happen again. You know, I'm pretty grateful and blessed. Like, I mightn't have had like an amazing career over in Europe, as in terms of like playing in the Premier League and all that. But, you know, the life that I've lived.
Yeah, 100%. Pretty, and there's still more.
MasterChef. Yeah, you know, working on the Grand Prix, doing the Spring Carnival, like, man.
This is part of it. This is part of it.
From a little kid, his mum was born in Papua New Guinea, dad was in New Zealand, like 5 weeks over coming here, not an education. Like,
you're doing all right.
Doing not bad, man. Like, you know, we all have different ways of learning things.
That's right.
So all those were highlights. Going back and playing Murray United, NPL, back where it all started for me was a great experience. My life, my kids, watching them flourish in whatever they're doing. My daughter's a singer, part of Sony in Australia. She's
killing it.
Amazing. My boy, beautiful. Like, whatever he does, like, I get emotional when I think about my son, because, like, you know, he's finding his way, but I love that kid, man. Like,
yeah.
If I could be...
How old is he?
18. If my kids can be any, I just want them to be kind.
Yes.
And they're kind. So I'm winning in life, you know. I'm winning if they're kind. That's important for me. And whatever happens, happens, man. It's cool.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, bro.
It's, okay. We touched on what's important, right?
Yeah, that's the real stuff. I mean, football was the past, and, you know, it's good to kind of tell all those stories, it's where it's at now for me. That's what I want to inspire.
Yeah, exactly right. Purpose, you know? And on that note, who's going to win the A-League this season and who's going to win the EPL?
Oh, man.
Two questions, and then we're done.
I want to say victory, but, you know, like...
Who's looking better?
If it's not victory, I would really like Wellington or Central Coast.
Wellington's looking good, aren't they?
Yeah, I really would love them.
Well, Central Coast started so slow.
Rough, but they won their first game against Victory at Amy Park this year.
Mm.
First time they'd ever done it.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
They won a game, but that was in Marvel Stadium back, I think, when I was
playing. It's a bit different. Different stadium, different vibe.
So I still would like Victory, but one of those two teams. And Arsenal, man. I'm an Arsenal. I knew you wouldn't say that. But it's tight, bro.
Like, it is tight.
Man, it's really tight.
It's tight. I think it's the three of them, Liverpool, City and Arsenal, it's going to be tight.
Very cool.
But you know that it's funny because those last four or five games are all sort of playing each other. Tottenham, City, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah. I don't know when this is going to come out, but then Liverpool got City in 2 weeks, I think.
2 weeks, yes, correct.
And City have got Manchester United this week if this is coming out. So it's like,
Yeah.
It's all happening.
This will have to come out soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Punch the edit out.
Yeah, punch it quickly out. Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, thank you so much.
No, my pleasure.
This was good. Sure. This was fun. Hopefully you had fun.
Yeah, man. Cool ass.
Thanks, man.
No,
love you.
Love you.
Cheers, man. Thank you.